السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أسعد الله أيامكم إن شاء الله. عيد عيد إن شاء الله عيد الفطر المبارك. Be a blessed day, a blessed occasion on you, your families, your communities, your countries, your friends, and all the Muslims worldwide, inshallah. May Allah accept your fasting for 30 days, your du'as, your prayers, your qiyam, your Quranic recitation, your tahajjud, every supplication you did, inshallah, is accepted by Allah, and you are refined. And tonight is one of the most beautiful nights where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees. He's going to free every person, believer, who observed the fast is going to be freed from the hellfire, inshallah. All your a'mal are accepted, inshallah. You are forgiven during this night, the night of Eid. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا وعلى سيدنا ومولانا وقائدنا وحبيب قلوبنا الإمام الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وسهل مخرجه. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The eve of Eid al-Fitr is among the most sacred nights where people are going to receive their prizes and their rewards from the merciful Lord. It's the night Laylatul Itqi min al-Nar, a night where we are freed, inshallah, and forgiven. Also, it is the night where we extend our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to fast. Not many people can get this opportunity to fast the whole month. So those of you who were able to fast should give thanks to Allah. Those who could not fast for ailments, for sickness, for old age or very young age probably, or other reasons, traveling, then inshallah you will receive the rewards of those who fast. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, assalamu alaikum Mawlana, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. شرفتم، أهلا وسهلا مولانا، أهلا ومرحبا بكم، شرفتم مولانا. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank the community. Those of you who came, some of you came every night to this place. I witnessed that you never missed any night. You came every night to break, some of the nights to break the fast, and others to listen to the dua and listen to the lecture and greet your brothers and sisters. Many people work very hard to make these nights a success. Many volunteers who served the iftar, who served the suhoor, they would give the food to the people and then they eat. Maybe 1 hour later, they would break the fast. So we extend our appreciations and our regards and our love for those volunteers the sisters and the brothers. Many of them stood outside to protect the community, to guard this community. Many of them, you know, participated in streaming these lectures. Many people heard the lectures and listened to the lectures and followed these programs from so many different countries. So we thank every volunteer, we thank every person, we thank those of you who came to this mosque to celebrate and to enjoy these beautiful nights of dedication and service, the nights of supplication, the nights of sincerity. I really know many of you would drive so many miles to make it to this place, and you didn't miss these nights. So I, in particular, thank those who came to listen to the lectures, and I am very proud of, alhamdulillah, of this prosperous community. You followed us. We had more than 18 lectures on the great women of mankind. We chose many leaders among women to talk about them. And this was not just for mere entertainment or mere history. I chose this subject on purpose because we really need to appreciate women and respect women and encourage women and inspire them and empower them. Women are a very important and integral part of our societies. A society that does not respect women is not a successful society. Communities who don't care, countries who do not care about women, they treat them as second-class citizens. These countries would not be successful, let alone prosperous, let alone productive. So we need to celebrate the achievement, the contribution of women. And who are women? Women are your mothers, the closest one to you. Can someone say, I have no mother? Including Jesus, peace be upon him. He had a mother. All of us, we had mothers. The only one who did not have really a biological mother is Adam, alayhis salam, Adam and Eve. They were created by miracle. But the rest of us, we have mothers. When we speak about women, we speak about our mothers. We speak about our spouses, our partners, our daughters, our sisters, our friends in the community. So women have to be respected respected by the entire society, especially men. Especially men, they have to accord women the due respect and honor them because they are endowed with a very, very difficult task, raising children. Raising children is not easy, my friends. The most difficult job in this universe is to raise children. This is not easy. So women have to be appreciated, even if they do nothing, at home. Just because they raise children, they deliver children, and they protected them, they raised them, they really deserve the utmost appreciation and respect. And also, we have to acknowledge that we have women who are single mothers, and they are struggling. They are struggling in this life. They are struggling with their families, making ends meet. In this country, you don't find the money in the street. In this country, if you don't work, you starve. So those women are working very hard to protect and maintain their families. So we appreciate them. My friend, Islam cannot have a good journey in this country if women are marginalized. We are under the scrutiny of others. They are watching us. We are under the radar. They see the way we treat our women. If we read the Quran all the time and pray and fast, we are not going to impress the Westerners. They are not going to be impressed when I fast. They don't care. They are not going to be impressed if I pray five times a day. They don't care. But they care when we treat our women in a good way, in an honorable way, in a just way, in a fair way. Because women, most women, in most Islamic countries, we have 56 Islamic countries with majority people are Muslims. In most of these countries, women are marginalized. Women are disrespected. Women are not appreciated. And this is a problem. This is a serious problem that we are suffering from. So we need to change this perception. Here in America, in Canada, in the West, we the Muslims, we have to change this perception. We have to tell them that this is Islam. The one we are practicing is the real faith, real Islam, real religion, which really equalizes between men and women. Never differentiate between male and female. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. There is no discrimination. God says, men or women, I don't look at your gender. I look at your work. I don't look at your gender. So, we have to work hard. We, the Muslims, have a big task. If you respect your wife, you are respecting Islam. If you disrespect your wife and your daughter, you are disrespecting your faith, your religion. This is how it works here in this country. And there are two ways, my friends, two ways of uplifting women. Otherwise, women are going to be always behind. Two ways. Number one, by the community. The entire community should get on board in promoting women, promoting their rights, promoting their respect, promoting their position, their place in the society. We should not deprive them. This is why from day one when I came to Orange County, we started this institution 23 years ago. I said we have to have women in the board of directors. They have to have a voice. Men cannot occupy everything and marginalize women. That does not work. We need to see them visible. Our mosque is one of very few mosques in the nation, in North America, that does not separate between men and women. They are in the same room, respected and honored. They pray in the same room. They dine in the same room. They watch, they listen, they study, they pray in the same room. Because I believe in that. I strongly believe in that. Those are our family members. We should not throw them aside, put them somewhere else, draw the curtain, separate and segregate. That does not work here. We need to teach our children, the young generation, to respect women, to know how to deal with them, not to exploit them. So the whole society should be involved, number one. Number two, it's the job of women themselves. Women have to do something for themselves. Women have to study. Women have to come forward. Women have to participate. Women have to be members, active members of this community, this society. And alhamdulillah, many of them are. Many of them are. And I am proud of many, many, many sisters in our community. But sometimes, of course, when we see sisters coming here just to chat, sit at the back, and then just chat, and they never listen, and they disturb the peace, they are doing injustice not only to themselves, to their religion, to their community. We all are going to lose. It would not give good impression if someone comes, an outsider comes and sees some women are chatting, they don't even listen, they don't even pray, some of them. He would say, what sort of Islam is this? What sort of community is this? This is very bad image for Islam. It's not a good reputation for Islam. So we have to educate them. We, all of us, not just the imam, not just this person or that. We, Amr bil Ma'ruf, is the duty of every good believer in God, every observant of faith. We have to reach out to them and tell them, listen, please, this is a place of worship. We are here to listen. We are here to learn. We are here to change. And if we don't listen, we can't change. If we can't listen, if we don't allow ourselves to listen, then we cannot change. So these are the things that I wanted to say about women and about those ladies that we addressed in this month, the great ladies, beginning with Hawa, the first mother, the grandmother of all of us. And we ended last night with the mother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This month was supposed to be a training for us. Training for what? Physical training? No. Spiritual training. To be more patient. To be more respective. We respect people. To be more disciplined. To be more generous. To learn manners. Islam is all about manners, my friends. Everything we do, it will lead into a better manners, better dealing, better relationship in the society. This is the month, if I choose one word for this month, if someone asks me, what does Ramadan stand for? I will summarize that in one, just one word. Ramadan is the season of transformation. Transformation and change. We need to change. We need to change. If we are good, we need to be better. If we are not good, we have to be good. So we have to move forward. In order for us to receive God's forgiveness, we have to move forward. We have to get rid of some bad habits. In the month of Ramadan, it's an occasion for us to get rid of these bad habits. Therefore, in this community, my friends, let me conclude by saying many things have to be changed. Number one, in this community, we have to observe an-nadafa, cleanliness. The cleanliness of the mosque, of the bathrooms, the entrance, the parking lot. It's the job of every believer. We cannot say to others, our religion is beautiful, but when they come to the place of worship, the place of worship is messy. That does not work, my friends. An-nadafatul iman. Cleanliness is the spirit of faith. The highest objective of faith is to be clean. This is a house of worship. This house belongs to God. وَطَحِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرَّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. The first instruction God gave to Abraham is to cleanse my house. Clean it. Make it beautiful. Make it attractive. The place of worship, if it is not attractive, you cannot focus. You cannot concentrate. You cannot enjoy your prayers. It has to be clean. And this is the job of every person. Every person. Every man and woman who come to the mosque, if they see something, they should pick up that thing. They should clean the masjid, because this is your house and you are a shareholder. This mosque belongs to you. It's from your money. No government gave us the money to buy this place. It's from your money. Some of you gave $1, some of you gave $100,000. You all participated, you all contributed, you all donated, you all gave your money. So this is your home. This is not a private property. We are here to serve you. And we have a term. One day we have to leave. We are not here to stay. So it is your job to clean, to take care, not to accept it, to see your masjid messy. I myself, when I see the masjid messy, I lose everything I memorized to speak. I lose my lecture. I don't know what to speak about. I can't concentrate. Maybe this is not something good, maybe it's bad, but this is how God created me. I need to see everything neat, clean, organized, beautiful. If it's not like that messy, I can't speak. So, number one, cleanliness. Number two, nizam, organization. وَنَظْمِ أَمْرِكُمْ. The masjid has to be, when we put the chairs, It has to be organized. Organized. When we see the shoes on the floor, this is not good. This is not civilized. Anyone who leaves his shoes on the floor is doing disservice to the mosque. There is shoe rack that cost hundreds of dollars to install. Put your shoes there. And if you see someone leaving his shoes there, put it there. Don't leave it, because it is dangerous. Not only ugly, but sometimes people are going to trip. The bathrooms have to be clean. When we sit, the way we sit has to be beautiful. Have you been to churches? How many of you go to churches? How many? Raise your hand. Have you seen the way they sit? Very organized. Very beautiful. You don't see someone standing, the other sitting, the one, you know, laying down, the one stretching his feet. They are sitting next to each other in an organized way. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Why do we stand for the prayer saf? Why the imam should say, it's recommended for the imam to say, سَوُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ. Straighten your lines. Straighten your lines as part of the prayers. The line cannot be crooked. The line has to be straight. The same thing when we sit. It has to be straight. It has to be in a nice way, neat way. So, children, sometimes children are, I welcome children. I'd love for them to come. Because I was a child when my father used to take me to the mosque, to his lectures. I learned Islam since I was 2 years old. So we encourage them to come. But they have to be under control. They have to be under control. There is adab, manners. Their mothers, their fathers, they have responsibility of keeping them under control, teaching them manners, telling them this is not a playground, this is a mosque, we are there, people are watching us, God is watching us, this is His house, His place, so we have to respect. I've been to some communities, I've seen their children as young as 3 years old, they sit and they watch the imam speaking, 3 years old. I don't know what they do to stick them to the floor. Do they bring something, you know? I really don't know. It's a miracle. But it is training. It's a training. You train them, they learn. You leave them unattended, they take advantage. It's a training. Every father here and every mother and every grandfather, every grandmother has a responsibility of teaching their children the manners of the masjid. How they enter the masjid, how they come and respect the place. Even masahif. When we finish, they have to go back. The turba, when you use the turba, the tasbih, once you finish, don't leave it here and there. This is irresponsible. Take it back. Take it back to its own place. The chair, the table. Some people use the table and chair, but they don't, you know, they leave it there. Some people I've seen, they eat the food, they leave their box and they go. This is not responsible, my friend. This is not a responsible human being. Islam teaches me, this is the way I understand Islam. Before I learn fasting and prayers, I learn responsibility. We are not animals, we are human beings. We are endowed with responsibility. And if I am wrong, please correct me. Correct me if I am wrong. Tell me this is not right what you are telling us. So this is our responsibility to take care of the mosque and also to take care and observe silence. For instance, when the adhan is raised, we have to be silent. When the prayers is done, the imam is reciting the salat, we have to observe silence. When the dua is being recited, we have to be silent. Now sometimes when we eat food, no problem. We speak to people, you know, because one of the reasons is to socialize, to introduce yourself, to speak, no problem. But when the time comes for adhan and prayers and Quranic recitation and supplication, we really have to observe silence. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Do not raise your voice above the voice of the prophet. Adab manner is to observe silence when you go to the mosque. Even when we say salawat, my friends, the salawat has to be in a nice tone. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. No more than that. Don't scream. Some people, when they say salawat, Allahumma. This is not nice. The Prophet is not going to enjoy this greetings. Believe me. It's not nice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ. We have a verse in the Quran. We have to be careful, even when we send salawat. Salawat is sanctification, is celebration of the Prophet's name. It has to be in a nice way. You know, some women come to me and they say, some of the sounds are scary. I can't take them. They run away. It's not good to harass people. We have to accommodate people here. We have to respect all people who come here. Sometimes the salawat, say it in your heart. You don't have to scream. Who said we have to scream? Where is it? Show me a text that says, at the time of salawat, you have to raise your voice. Where is it? No such thing. Salawat, say it in your heart. We can raise our voice, but don't raise the volume. Don't raise the volume too much. Because there are people, some people, they don't like the loud voice. They don't like it. So we have to be considerate to those people, my friends. And last but not least, the masjid is our identity. The masjid is our image. So you decide, how do you want your image to be? Do you want your image to be acceptable, presentable, powerful, impressive, or otherwise? It's up to us. We make this decision, not others. When I go to certain communities and I see they have nice attitude, their mosque is brilliant, is it presentable, you feel peace. I travel widely and I go to mosques worldwide. I enter some mosques as if you have entered paradise. I realize that the people of this country, the people of this society, this neighborhood are civilized. Mutarabbi. They have been refined. They have good mothers, good fathers, good families. They trained them, they taught them the principles, the values. So it's up to us. How do we want people to judge us? It's up to us, my friends. These things, I've been saying them many times in many years. Because I don't like messy Islam. For me, Islam is not just the prayers or fasting. For me, Islam is a cleanliness, organization, beauty, nice smell, nice look, nice carpet, nice ceiling, nice ventilation, nice lighting. Everything is nice. Some people, the masjid is a refuge for them, refuge. They are disturbed outside. They come into the mosque to see everything beautiful, everything nice. Our attitude should not be arrogant. So it should not be selfish. Let's watch our behavior. Let's be humble, down to earth, and thoughtful, my friends. Thoughtfulness is important in Islam. Thoughtful to those around us. So we don't hurt. We accommodate. We welcome. The place has to be welcoming. Our masjid has to be the first masjid that Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam, when he looks at, he says, this is... Those are really my followers. I'm proud of them. Those are the followers that I admire and I look up to. So it's up to us. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will begin the Salat, the Takbirat at 7:30, inshallah. Takbirat 7:15. The Salat itself, 7:30. And 7:30 sharp, my friends. I carry this with me for the purpose of watching the time, believe me. See the timer? I'm supposed to speak 30 minutes and now it's 30 minutes. I have to end now. So inshallah, tomorrow we begin 7:30 sharp. So if you want to find a place, you have to be at 7:05, 7:10, you have to be here inshallah. And then we try to have one salat. So we're going to have outside on this side, outside on that side, and in this place inshallah. So we need your help to help us make this room ready for tomorrow. Zakatul Fitr is $15 per person inshallah. And the head of the family, the breadwinner of the family, is responsible to give this zakat on behalf of the members of his family and the guests who come to him tonight. So if you have guests coming to you, to your house tonight, you pay on their behalf, even if those guests are non-Muslims. Even if they are non-Muslims, you pay their zakat on their behalf. We have an honorable Mawlana here, Shaykhana Shaykh Abdul Amir Al-Maturi. He's an important religious figure in Norway, Scandinavia. He has a beautiful, he built with the mu'mineen, with him, his community, one of the most beautiful mosques in Europe, with dome and minaret. I've seen it. He's very active. He's active in the parliament there, with the government there. And people love him, respect him. He's humble. He has very beautiful manners. And he looks young, though he's older than me, mashallah, but he looks young, because in Norway they eat fresh food, the salmon, you know, all the food is good there. So he will come forward, inshallah, to speak a few words. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.